Hi guys, and welcome to episode 4 of Say No to Me with your host Michelle S, the best. I'm trying to be. So I'm here today, and I guess I'm hyper because I'm so happy to have this special guest with me. I just want to welcome Malcolm Evans. He's the owner of Sales Accent, and his business is very interesting. It's something I think you listeners would love to learn more about, and someone that could actually help you. So I don't want to give it all away. I'm gonna just ask Malcolm to say
Good morning, Michelle. Hope you are
hi.
well.
And I just want you to get into what you do for entrepreneurs and what kind of service that you could provide to possibly one of our listeners today.
Okay, well, great, and thank you so much for this opportunity. And just knowing you a little bit that I do, that the inspiration is already flowing from you, and your enthusiasm is going to infect people when they start listening to this.
Thank you.
My background, and it's a bit of a long story. You probably detected by now that I'm not from these shores. I've been in the US nearly 20 years and love it. Never had any intention to come here, but first time I came, I fell in love with the place. My background, and let me just set the scene a little bit. And growing up, I had two mentors. One was my dad, and the other one was on the TV. That was John Wayne. And both of them instilled a spirit into me is, look, you can do anything. Have a go at it. And that's why I like this show. Don't let anyone tell you no. And both of these great men said to me, in not so many words, go west, young man. Well, at the age of 23, I did, but apparently I wasn't very good at geography. So I left Wales in the UK and ended up in Africa, which is directly south. So after I'd realized that mistake, I said, oh, okay, I may as well stay here. Originally went for 2 years, and 14 years later went back to Britain with a wife and a family, and spent some years there. We agreed, lovely being with family, but we didn't like the weather, and an opportunity came up to come to the US and work on a contract. And I spent 3 years here, which became four, and eventually becomes now is 19. I left the corporate world in 2014, but I've had this company, Sales Accent, in place since 2013. And at the core of what I do, Michelle, is in my corporate activities, I was helping people build networks literally around the world. And I got caught up in a downsizing, and at the age of like 53, for the first time ever in my career, a job change was made, and it wasn't my choice. And there I was out on the street. Okay, I had a severance package. It wasn't all that crazy, but I was in a strange country, even though I'd been here for some years. And I realized I'd been so good at doing what I'd been doing for my employer. And ironically, I had a promotion and a raise a week before I was let go. It's just the way these things, and subsequently my boss got caught up in it as well. So stuff can happen that we can't control. But what I realized there is I hadn't been spending time on myself. And what I mean by that is I was good at my job. I could use all the tools that were provided for me, but there were additional things that I needed out in the real world. And also I'd realized that my network was only inside of that company, and it wasn't external, and I was external now. So it was a bit of a wake-up call. So it wasn't all doom and gloom. I worked in quite a narrow industry, so I was known. So I picked up a job and a career with another company that was good, and they wanted me to focus very much on developing the distribution channel, but also training people. And that's the bit that I really came to realize, that you can't really train people. You can give them information, but you can coach what's inside them out. So after a couple of years, I realized This corporate stuff isn't for me. My family back in the UK were getting older. I wanted a working lifestyle that allowed me flexibility and also to pursue the things that I really wanted to do. And that I settled upon coaching. And coaching people to perform in their current jobs and professions to the point that they could get promoted. Coaching people that had been that had gone through an experience like I had, and really getting them to realize that it's not the end of the world and it could be a new beginning. And I also coach CEOs and top performers in companies that often have nowhere to turn. They imagine a CEO of a company can't go to the people at work from and say, "Oh my goodness, I don't know what's happening next. I don't know what I'm going to do." They'd all be running out the door. And it's very gratifying. But one sort of, if I peel the onion back a little bit further, the I volunteer at job working or job networking ministry at a large church in Atlanta. It's been running for 25 years, and it's really people that are in transition, and some have been out of work for many months, and some are it's new. And these are professional people, and they just feel that they don't know where to turn. So if I can make them aware of there are options, it comes down to often just believing in themselves and adding in some additional soft skills to augment and enhance what they've got, and the results can be incredibly powerful. And people can often go from a state of desperation, gloom, to many times tears, to absolute exhilaration, and a new person comes out of them. So hopefully that's been in a nutshell, but a big nut. Sorry.
It's a perfect breakdown. So many things to go through what you just said, but I think what really would that's good to emphasize is just how people can sometimes feel that there is nowhere to turn to and then have nowhere to turn to. So it's you're internalizing all that, those problems, but it's good to have someone like you that can kind of help them get on a path. I also have a mentor, and that's something I'd suggest to anyone that is trying to do something like this, trying to get on get out there on their own. It's not all on YouTube or Google. It's good to have someone that has done it before, has the experience, and really cares about you expanding and growing on your own professionally outside of the, 9 to 5 income.
It's so right, and you probably deduced by now that I'm a man, and sometimes we don't often like to ask for advice. We're bad enough asking for directions. So grateful people, somebody invented GPS. We don't have to talk to anyone when we're driving. But I learned the hard way that as good as I was and as knowledgeable as I felt I was, and I started my own businesses, many years ago, and ran them for many years before going back to the corporate world. I was seeing things that weren't quite working, and I did a lot of internalizing. I sat down with a friend, and I went to a small event, and it was all about coaching. And they said, "What have you learned?" After like 3 days of being there, I said, "I've learned I need a coach." And just that, the corner for me. And it wasn't so much that I was learning new things, but I was learning to apply what I knew more effectively. And this is what I see with so many people that are, they don't know where to turn. And men in particular, middle-aged men, baby boomers or whatever, they have a pride, and they don't like to show weakness. And they are the provider, the hunter gatherer, in their psyche. And so often they will just I call it the death of a thousand cuts. You know, it's just they gradually go down and down and down. I've been building a brand over the last few years called the Healthy Three, and this is all about, you know, first off, looking after your bodily wellness. Then it's looking after your strength of spirit, and resilience in your mind. And the final thing is understanding how to put money in your pocket and build a healthy bank balance. And where people start to go through that death of a thousand cuts, you know, if they realize, well, I'm unemployed, I'm worried about money, I'm worried about healthcare, I'm worried about retirement. Maybe, yeah, but you know, fast food is okay. We can skip a couple of meals. And
Yeah.
this starts to break in at one of the cores, then that you know, as soon as the wellness is affected, you know, you don't feel good about yourself. You don't feel good in your head. And if you are trying to get a job, these things are subliminal. They are broadcast to whoever is interviewing you. So they're critically important, and it's almost like a triangle. Each side has got to be as strong as each other to get that optimum strength. You know, so was that kind of clear? I do ramble sometimes, so.
I get what you're saying. It's not so your technique, the three things, this is what helps them to do exactly what.
Well, first, it gets them to realize this isn't the end of the world. You know, whatever's happening, whether they feel that they are employed and things are not going the right way, they're not feeling valued, they feel insecure, or if they're unemployed, you know, they don't know where to turn next. They spend hours and hours applying for stuff online, not realizing that there's a computer probably screening them out, and the likelihood of getting to an interview point, so they're just wasting time there. They could be spending time more effectively working on the those that know them, and understanding what others have done going through similar situations. So a typical scenario is when somebody, you know, guys and gals take the initiative to say, look, I'd just like to talk to you. And we talk for an hour, maybe a couple of hours, and I don't charge anything, you know, for that initial thing. I want to understand whether we're on a frequency that our discussions and conversation could benefit them. And they begin to open up, and typical conversations are like, well, how long were you at the company? I was there 15 years, and did you enjoy the work? Yeah, but it was regular. I liked the people I was around. And then what happened? Well, my boss, who was my friend, called me in this one day and said, look, I've got a difficult thing to talk to you about. It's not my favorite part of my job, but we're going to have to let you go. And I say, how did that feel? Well, first, I was dumbstruck. And secondly, I started to question the relationship we had and the friendship. And I was disappointed in that person. And often it's you know, we end up shooting the messenger there. You know, and being a manager, and I've done this, and I've been in a situation where I've had to let people go. It is the worst part of the job. And if I can just go back many years, I was maybe 28. I was running a sales team. I had maybe 15 people there, all highly qualified, men, women, all ages, and so on. And there was one young lady that worked on the team, and she was coming in late, and you could see she'd been out partying. And I took her a few moments. I said, come on, let's have a chat. You know, what's going on? And then she got a little bit defensive. And I said, oh, you've got to understand, this is coming from the heart. So we walked across to the window, and where we lived and worked at the time, there'd been some crime. So this office building had a a fence around it where there was barbed wire on there. And I said, do you see the fence downstairs with the barbed wire? She said, yes. I said, what's that for? And she said, well, that's to keep people out. And I said, you're right. It's not to keep them in. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I really don't think your heart is in this job. And I've seen you just bloom and blossom when things of interest, you know, come into your mind and you can work on them. But I don't see it very often. And, you know, if you don't mind me saying, I think you should pursue other things. She said, are you firing me? And I said, absolutely not. About a week later, she quit. And life goes on. About 3 months later, I was at a trade show and she just happened to be there working for another company. And she ran across the aisle and gave me a big hug. And she said, you made me stop and think and reevaluate. And now I've found a company, I've found what I really want to do, and I'm doing well at it. I'm on track for promotions, and it's great. I'm having so much fun. And she said, thank you for being the friend, not being the manager. And that was one of the things that were memorable for me over the years. And, you know, I'm not a wizard at this stuff. The magic is inside the person. As I said, you can't train anyone anything. You can't teach them anything. You can pull it out and have them realize that, wow, you know, that may work. And for folks now, I would highly recommend, look, if you are working, best time to look for another job is when you're working and employed. And the best time to put some security in place, if you're at all uneasy, is start looking at a side project, you know, a plan B, a gig, whatever the terms are being used nowadays. And just the experience of setting up a little side business introduces people into different facets of being in a business, whether it be sales or marketing or accounting or just networking and building relationships with people. And so many just eventually make that transition, and so many are forced to make the transition, but at least have that sort of backstop in place.
So I mean, I think you already got into what these people should be doing. For anyone that's afraid, like, what's the next step? Leaving your job that you've been doing for years that brings in the income that's, you know, paying the bills, that's a huge thing. It's something I think a lot of us are trapped in just because of those reasons. That story with that young lady, it sounds so real. It reminds me of how I felt sometimes in my own previous careers, where you're just kind of in it because you feel like you need to be here. You need to do all those life things, and instead of going after what you want to do. So is for you, do you think taking the next step actually means leaving your job? I mean, I get what you said for that young lady, but like for someone else, what do you think?
I think it's taking a step. Doesn't have to be the next step, but, you know, if you're not happy with something, it's about choice. You either choose to stay in that situation, and so many, it ends up being their identity because they... woe is me, the whole world is treating me badly, and it, you know, they complain and their friends, you know, commiserate, and oh, you are poor thing, and so on, and it becomes an identity. It's a pity party, and you know, they can be comfortable, and people are so often scared of letting go of the what they've got. Let's call it the uncomfortable situation or the situation that they don't like, just because fear of the unknown. So they become complacent and just dig in, you know, doing what they're doing, and it just wears them down. Instead of thinking, and you know, if you if you imagine that as soon as we start high school, we're encouraged to stop daydreaming and stop playing and knuckle down and learn and do the things that you've been taught. And then we grow up without dreaming, without having...
Yeah.
Without playing games. You know, my nieces back in the UK, they're running around dressed up like fairy queens and parties and all sorts of stuff. And then it's sad to see what the change is when they move into, you know, later in life, 13s and 14s or wherever. They get into sport and music and things like that. But those dreams and that magical spark that's in kids tends to go away. So people are scared to dream. They're scared to move away from, you know, the icky that they've got into something that could potentially be exactly what they're looking for. And that's why I say it, you know, I don't encourage anyone just to take that drastic step of leave a job, go start something new. I did it, you know, but it was a whole bunch of different reasons. I would say think about doing something on the side, learn some of those new skills, and I spend an awful lot of time compiling content and things that could benefit people just to take that next step in less of a drastic measure. Is that sound clear?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's, well, for me, it's exactly what I'm doing now. And I think a lot of us have realized that you have to do, because you can't just necessarily, you know, jump out of your job and be like, I'm done with this and you're out of there and, you know, I'm going to live my dreams. There's still that part of life that you have to take care of. So what I've done too is on the side, I've started my virtual assistant business. So it will mean that you do more work. So I hope like that person isn't trying to escape working. you know, a lot
There's
of us
the
are trying
of experience.
To, right? You know, like I'll see the pictures on Instagram and Facebook. People are like, you know, digital nomads, and we're on the beach and we're typing and life is great. That might be that person's reality. And I think the real life is working a 9-to-5, and then doing that side thing until that builds up. And I'm not talking in a month or two, I'm talking years. And then, you know, after that, being able to be like, I can put this aside and now this is making more than the income I'm making now and I can live off this. That's when you make the transition, and it still means more work. And now you're the boss. So I think that person needs to determine what you're trying to do. Like it shouldn't be you're trying to escape from being that hard worker. And I think it's more putting your hard work and time into something that you're passionate about.
There's the voice of experience then, because you will work as hard, if not harder and longer, building something for yourself. But you get to reap the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the benefits, you know, they can be financial. They can be just a sense of, oh, wow, this is mine. I built it. And yeah, I'm doing well. And then one day when, hey, I need to take a day off to go do something. I need to go to be my kids at a baseball game, or I need to take my elderly uncle to a doctor's visit. You don't have to ask anyone. You just, it's very liberating.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, anyone started a small business, they think nothing of putting a few hours in on the weekend, on a Saturday or a Sunday. We're talking on the weekends now. I took a bit of a break yesterday and did some stuff around the, you know, some, I would call it therapeutic chores. My wife would call it honeydews, go down down around the house. So but today I'm going to a meeting with a group of like-minded people, and we're going to learn, you know, some new things.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably will take an afternoon off and during the week, and I've been running around lately and have taken a couple of naps midday. Oh, that is so glorious and beneficial, and it's an absolute treat and privilege. And I
Yeah.
wouldn't have to ask anyone to do it.
I think that I've been hoping that eventually the workforce becomes this way where you're working more remotely, because you find yourself sitting at the desk and you've done your part. You know, you've done what you needed to do right now, and you probably just want 10 minutes of peace. But it's structured that you have to sit there to look busy. You know, you're able to, as you said, have more freedom. And the workforce just kind of forces you to just kind of, you're actually wasting more time. I think there was an actual study where they actually show like workers are actually doing like, let's say, 4 hours of work in an 8 hour day, you know? So I think what more people want is that type of freedom that you're talking about. And anyone that's listening that wants to be an entrepreneur, that is something that will become a benefit. Do you think it's something that happens immediately, or is it something you have to eventually earn?
For some, it can happen very quickly. It depends how they're structured. And I'm one thing that I would stress is that having support, and like yourself, you're a virtual assistant. You can help people with some of the tasks that they may, you know, find to be not uncomfortable, but you know, for many, office work is not their passion. So if they can put their efforts in with their passions, and then know that they can go and get support to do some of the tasks that they don't want to do, you know, get an assistant, get, you know, I read a book and actually interviewed the author some years ago, and she called it the kitchen cabinet. She said, I've got a group of friends, one's an accountant, one's a lawyer, you know, one's in marketing, and I invite them over, you know, once a week, and we just have a cup of coffee and some cake and just talk. And she said, it's invaluable. I need them. I need their creativity. And then when the time comes, I'll buy their services. But I know I've got that support there. So, and if we can, we and others can be that support and the pieces of the puzzle that can drop in to help build a picture of somebody's ideal sort of future, their working life and their idea towards freedom and security. You know, it's I think that's what everybody wants anywhere in the world is security, to know that they can do things and they're not going to have to worry about not having enough money going forward in the future. It's sad to when people say, well, I can't take a vacation, or I can't buy a car because I don't know what's coming next. That's unhealthy, and that wears down on people.
So that's why, you know, before I suggested that you start with the side thing while working, because you need that security. And then eventually it could, you keep working at it, it becomes what you can live off of. I think you're trying to aim to make more than you're making now, and then probably like 25% more. And then you're able to be comfortable in that. If something goes slow, and depending on your business, if it's slow 1 month, you're not like, oh no, how am I going to pay the rent kind of situation.
Yeah. So building a buffer, building a 3 month nest egg or wherever to cover all the bills, that can tide most people over. I'm a big fan of reading, you know, from different authors. I do like the Robert Kiyosaki series. I listen to his radio show. He is very pragmatic about what he believes, you know, the direction of economies is going to go, but also he's a very good example of having built businesses, and he highly recommends to people, and he says, like, I've no dog in this hunt. He said, look around for things that you would like to do, how you'd like to start a business. And he said, for many, if you hear of network marketing, you run away. But he said, I want to give you some recommendation. Go find a company that you like the look of their products, you like the mission that they're on, but you like the training that they provide, you will get a complete look at what having a business of your own is by going, and finding a good company, because they'll give you an appreciation of sales and marketing and office work and legal entities for setting a little company up. So I recommend that that people go out, read, get on YouTube, speak to people that have been down this path before, and and some will fail. And it's often said is that people it's you it's not that businesses don't work, it's because people don't work the businesses to hard enough. And there was an old adage that salespeople would use is that people in sales don't do the hard work that's necessary to make the job easy. And we can sometimes be a little bit too close to it, and after a while we realize, yep, they were right, that old ego thing coming in again. So hopefully this has been some insight, and I'm very open to sharing what I know with anyone that wants to reach out to me. Is it okay to give my contact information?
Yeah, sure. I want you to share with everyone how they can get some more talking time with you. And aside from that, your info will be listed and on the info section of this podcast.
Yeah.
So Malcolm is very open to talking to anyone who wants some advice. You can go ahead and share it with them.
Okay, well, my website is Sales Accent, and that is SalesAccent.com. And apparently, I've been in sales forever, and I talk funny as well. So this is actually a
I
famous
get it.
author that
I
I
get
know. Yeah, he said, hey, build a brand around that, and I'm always putting stuff out there. I've built together with a development company, a learning management system online. It's all about soft skills, because nowadays, when if you're looking for a new job, it's not all of the discipline and what you're educated in. It's, can you do all of these other things as well? And so my contact information is up on that up on the site. There's always courses and special offers. My goal is to make a difference where somebody says, hey, this really worked for me, let me go tell somebody else.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
I try to make things affordable if it's tools, but I certainly make working together with somebody, they benefit, incredible. And the return on investment of small ideas and believing in themselves can it can manifest in so many ways apart from just in the bank balance.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Malcolm. Before you go, I'm just going to throw three words at you, and you just tell me the first three things that come to your head.
Okay.
You're are you ready?
Yeah, I am ready.
Facebook.
Time consuming.
Unicorns.
I love them.
Donald Trump.
I think the line is breaking up.
Oh, well, thank you so much again, Malcolm. I think you have shared a lot of good info for our listeners today. And again, his info will be a part of this podcast in the bio. So please like, share. I hope you're being inspired. Let me know your thoughts, what you'd like to hear, who you'd like me to talk to. And thanks again for just listening, and hope to have you on the show again.
Thank you so much, Michelle.